Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You say, Pastor Paul, what's happened to the book of Luke? We will get back to Luke next week. The title of our sermon today is Another New Year, 2015. Another New Year. How many of you have seen at least 35 years? You've seen at least 35 years. How many of you have seen at least 55 years? At least 55 years. How many of you have seen at least 65 years? How many of you have seen at least 75 years? How many of you wish you wouldn't see any more years? Wow, 75 plus, a good number of you. Thank God for you. Appreciate it. Shall we stand together? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. A portion of scripture that I want read at my funeral, which I hope is not anytime soon, folks. But if you are at my funeral and this portion of scripture has not been read, I do want you to stand up and say there's something still to be done, okay? Thank you. You're telling me you're going to still be alive, folks, when I die. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Folks, we live in an ignorant world. We have more knowledge than we have ever had before. And yet we are still ignorant because we have millions who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. What is meant here by asleep? Those that have died. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Thank you, and you may be seated. We live in a world that clamors for common sense, all the while drifting from it. I remember my grandson Luke. He was playing T-ball. And there were about 16 players on his team. All 16 players went out of the field at the same time. Some of them were sitting down in the outfield looking the opposite direction from the diamond. All of them got to bat. If by chance they got all the way through all 16 players, their inning was done, and they would then go out on the field and the other team would come in. At the end of the game, I said, "Who won?" He says, "I don't know." At the end of the year, everybody got a trophy. See, we did this because we didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Of course, we didn't encourage improvement. And that's the society we live in. So-called common sense. Yet all the while, we're drifting from it. We live in a world that denies the words of our infinite, omniscient, divine Creator. They say, well, we're here by chance. Billions of years ago, there was an explosion. An explosion from what? Well, there just happened to be this energy out there, and it exploded, and everything we have in the universe, which we continue to see is bigger than what we thought it was, came from that little ball of energy. The fact of the matter, God says in the beginning that he created the heavens and the earth. But we deny the words of the Lord and follow after the words of finite man. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When Paul wrote this letter to the church at Thessalonica, there were no chapters and verses. So chapter 5 would come immediately upon the heels of chapter 4, and let us continue reading. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, but the day should overtake you, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We have words of comfort that whether we are alive or that we are dead, the Lord is with us. Who died for us that we might have salvation, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We should not see the wrath of God. It talks about the wrath of God in John chapter 3, verse 36. Those that do not believe will suffer the wrath of God for all eternity. And I don't say that with smugness or with glee. I say that with fear and trepidation, that there may be some of you in this room right now that do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And may I say this, that seconds after you die, you will plead God for another moment of life so that you can get things right, but it will be too late. It'll be too late. Let's begin reading at verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Comfort yourselves together. I thank those that came to the funeral home there when Donna's mother was lying there just a few days ago. In fact, last Sunday. Appreciate those that brought with them words of comfort. As I watched our people come in and greet Donna and give her hugs and cried with her, I saw their Christian love. Candy attends the Rochester Hills Baptist Church where the funeral took place on Monday. That is where Donna's mother was a member. And I saw those people come in and comfort Candy. Donna has done many things with that church, and many of them know Donna personally. She was for a while almost their cake lady for those who were having weddings. And when someone had a wedding over there at Rochester Hills, they came to you. And I carried many a cake into the hall there at Rochester Hills Baptist Church. And there is Donna's brother, Chuck. He goes to karaoke every Friday night and Saturday night at the bar. He's done it for years. How many people came for Chuck? You know, as believers, they came for Candy and they came for Donna and they brought comfort. How many of Chuck's friends came from the bar to give him comfort? Can you see that? Zero. Zero. I want to thank you for coming. I want to thank you because as Christians, we have comfort in the Lord. We know Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we know that death is simply the door to a better place. A better place. We are to edify one another. We are to instruct and to guide spiritually one another. We are to know them that labor among you and admonish you, those that give counsel and those that give advice and those that preach the word of God. You are to be with them, and you are to know who they are, and you are to love them for the work's sake. And I don't say that because I need your love, but I say that because I need your love. We need to pray for the pastor. I heard an amen. You need to pray for your pastor. Amen. And I don't say that because I need your prayers. Well, no, that's a lie. Because I do need your prayers. I need them every day. We are to admonish one another. We are to comfort one another. We are to be there one for another. New Year's resolutions. I'm not going to ask any of you to stand up and give me your New Year's resolution. I heard one person say that their New Year's resolution was not to have New Year's resolutions. But I would like to give you some thoughts as encouragement. These are not written in the Word of God. You do not have to do these. If you don't do what I'm going to suggest, you're not going to burn in the pit of hell, okay? But these are just some thoughts. I believe you need to give blood. Now you say, Pastor Paul, you said this last year. I did in 2014 and in 2013 and in 2012 and in 2011. Are you impressed? I can count backwards. You need to give blood. Only 8% of Americans donate blood. And only 3% of those that give blood go back a second time. Now, folks, if you need blood, aren't you glad someone has given blood? Now, what I'm about to tell you is not to make you feel sorry for me, but I need someone to fill in the gap for me. As you know, I have been diagnosed with cancer. And I, at this time, cannot give blood. So I need somebody from our church to say, Pastor Paul, I haven't given blood in the past, but because you need someone to take your place, I'll do it. And if 2 or 3 or 10 of you want to take my place, praise God for it. But I believe we need to give blood. I believe we need to recycle. I was talking to my daughter-in-laws the other day, and they were giving me excuses as why they don't recycle. I finally, Donna, had to leave the room because I wanted to tell them what I thought, but I didn't, and I won't tell you what I think. I just will tell you I believe we need to recycle our glass, our metal, our paper. I believe most of all we need to recycle our faith. I believe we need to let other people know what we have because our faith is precious. Just as blood is precious, we need to recycle our faith. But let's get to the message and to thoughts of what we can do with a new year. And may I say this, the new year isn't about Ohio State and Oregon playing football. How many of you are rooting for Ohio State? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many of you are rooting for Oregon? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of you don't care? The vast majority of you don't even care. Very good. But the new year as a born-again believer is something that we should strive in to do better than last year. Verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. May I say, as we read these thoughts and as Paul exhorted these believers, may I encourage you, as 2015 begins, make 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 something to follow. Warn them that are unruly. To be unruly means to be disorderly. It means to be wild, disobedient, undisciplined, insubordinate, lawless. Warn them that are unruly. We live in a world that is full of unruly people. Someone they think has done wrong, and it seems to excuse them to do something that is what? Wrong. Two wrongs never make a right. I was reading in The Source about the holiday scammers and con artists. I read about those that want to hack into your computer system and steal your identity. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. If you look up the word feeble-minded in the thesaurus, it means to be foolish. If you look it up in the word in the dictionary, it means to be vacillating or foolish or even stupid. Comfort the feeble-minded. Do you know somebody that is stupid? Do you ever wonder about certain people, how they have survived for so long? Now, I know you're looking at me and you're thinking, yeah, we do wonder, Paul. But comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. We are talking about spiritually weak. Not necessarily the physically weak. It's amazing. We do so much for those who have physical ailments and physical problems. But what about the spiritually weak? What have we done? Well, we've taken prayer and the Bible out of our public schools. And since then, crime, etc., has escalated within our public schools. We've taken them out of our courts. What has happened there? We have judges now that legalize wrong things. But here we're to support the weak, those who are spiritually weak. Like the newborn fawn that struggles to get to its feet and legs and it wobbles around. We think of the new convert. We need to support the new convert. We need to support that one who is struggling through the difficulties of life. And then there's a phrase that I'm not sure why it's there. It says, be patient unto all men. Wow, that's a hard one, isn't it? Wow. But we're to be patient to all men. I wish my wife wasn't in the auditorium right now. Because I guarantee you this will come up sometime soon. But Paul indicates that we're to be patient. Because may I say, we're to be patient with those who are unruly. We're not to accept it, but we're to be patient with them. We're to be comforting the feeble-minded. We're to support the weak. We are to be patient with those in need. And folks, all of us at one point or another will be in need. And we will need some support. Notice verse 15. See that none render evil for evil. He exhorted the church at Thessalonica not to seek revenge, but to do good. To do good. Do you think it's important that Christians do good? Do you think that's one of the problems in our society, is Christians have forgotten how to do good? That we have become like the world and we want to be just like them. We're to be better than them. We're to do good. Then Paul says in verse 16, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. What makes you rejoice? I tell you what, you rejoice when you give a gift to somebody and they like it. Have you ever given a gift to somebody and they look at it like, all right, what am I supposed to do with this? That's rough, isn't it? Yes. I mean, that's a good time to rejoice. We may rejoice when the boss says, we're giving you a raise. We're giving you a promotion. No, those are something to rejoice about. You may rejoice over your favorite sports team winning. You may rejoice over the fact that a daughter or a granddaughter has become pregnant and you're excited about the coming child. You may rejoice that you have found that house that you've been looking for and you're buying a new house. You may rejoice. But you know, as believers, we have the true reason to rejoice. For we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. Salvation is ours. Are you excited about that? Are you excited about salvation? Rejoice when? Evermore. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Don't pray only when in need. Don't pray only when you have time. Don't pray only when you want something. Pray without ceasing. You don't always have to close your eyes to pray. In fact, when you're driving down the road, I would suggest that you not close your eyes when you're praying. May I say this, that there are going to be times in which you're going to pray and you're going to think, Lord, why aren't you answering my prayers? But we're to ask in the Lord's name, in His will. Lord, Your will be what? Be done. Your will be done. Pray without ceasing. Be in communication with the Lord. Pray. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. When your ladder falls 13 feet and you crash to the ground, give thanks. When the doctor looks at you and he says you have low-grade cancer, rejoice. Wow. Give thanks. How? I'm waiting to see how the Lord's going to handle this, folks. Would you pray for me in that regard? 14th of this month, I see the doctor who may do some radiation. Pray that I can give thanks. Comfort your pastor and pray for him. You know, when you find out that your mother-in-law has been put into hospice care, give thanks. I think your mother was excited about going home. In fact, one night she was kind of complaining that God hadn't taken her already. She was ready to go. In everything, give thanks. I'd ask you to remember to pray for the Frazier family. Clarence Frazier has been put into hospice care. And remember to pray for Mrs. Frazier and the family. And you say, well, how do you give thanks? Well, Clarence has made his peace with God. He knows the Lord is a Savior. The closing of the door of life here is the opening of the door into heaven. We are to rejoice. We are to pray. We are to give thanks and mean it. And mean it. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Note these four simple words. Quench not the spirit. Quench means to put out, to extinguish, to dampen, to terminate, to hinder, to frustrate, to thwart, to run counter. How could we quench the Holy Spirit? Selfishness. By our relationship with one another. I believe there are times that Christians have relationships with people they shouldn't have relationships with. By a relationship with material things, we allow material things to become of more importance than our Lord. By our lack of fellowship with the Lord. Do you think we should fellowship with the Lord? Every day. Prayer time? Bible time? Singing? Absolutely. Continual rebellion. You'd say, well, nobody in here is rebellious. Do you want to bet? Now, we're not going to point fingers because somebody would be pointing at you if you pointed at them. You remember the story of Joshua and the battle at Ai? Why was there defeat at Ai? Because there was sin in the camp. Sin in your life will quench the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. We are not to despise those that proclaim the word of God. The Lord said to Samuel the prophet, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. We are to want to hear the word of God. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And I don't think he's talking about chocolate chip cookies. I think he's talking about the word of God. I think he's talking about Christian fellowship. I think he's talking about those things that are right and righteous. Hold tight to those, for they are important. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. It doesn't say don't do evil. It says to abstain from the appearance of evil, that you may be doing something that is wrong. We're to abstain from all appearance of evil in our language, in our talk, in our demeanor, how we handle things in life. We are to abstain from all appearance of evil. May I say, these are good thoughts to live by in 2015. It's your call, your decision. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation, 403. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. I believe that the Lord wants to hear the cry and the prayer, shall we say, of the believer, asking for strength and encouragement during difficult times. We'll give you an opportunity to come and either pray by yourself or pray with someone, but let us know if you want that. The altar is here. You can come and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the challenge of 2015, a new year. Help us, Lord, to change attitudes as necessary, to change habits if necessary. Help us, Lord, to do that which is good and right. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.